welcome to the Warmaster Podcast, episode 37 with Paul and Barry.
Hello, listeners. And today's episode is entitled God Wills It.
Yes, it's the Bretonian Army list, yes. If you haven't guessed it.
Yes, so, it is.
And that's why God is willing it.
He is willing it indeed. So this is...
Was he willing today? Was he?
Fairly, I guess. But like, so it's an army review. So we played a game using Bretonians and we're going to talk through
A classic Bretonian battle.
Yeah, I'd say it's a classic one. I mean, the other matchups would have been Beastmen or Wood Elves, I suppose. More Beastmen, really.
Wood Elves fight, do they?
They're kind of
lovers, not fighters.
Natural allies of Bretonians, I suppose.
Okay,
yeah, which I'll come into. Yeah.
Yeah, so good. Yeah, Paul's going to hit us with some fluff bombs.
Yes, not there's a lot of fluff for Bretonians, but yeah, we will be hitting.
And hopefully, we'll have some outrageous French accent. Yeah.
Mon Dieu! You smelly oak pig!
I love that bit. So yeah, that's good stuff. So we'll talk about what Paul's been doing in the week in wargaming.
Yes.
It's going to be an action-packed episode.
Yeah, it's quite a bit, actually. So since we recorded last Friday, and today is Friday the 21st, so...
It's Friday again, I've got to do this. This is coming out today.
It's coming out today. Yeah,
oh, God. Like, hopefully there's not much editing again.
If you're sticking to your time scale.
That's right, the plan.
Okay, so since we recorded last, I did this quite cool thing. I have a Guild Ball tournament coming up. The next event I have is a Warmaster one.
Hey.
Yeah, the Triwiz. And then the next thing I have a week later is a Guild Ball tournament. Yeah, the club's Guild Ball tournament. So I looked at who was playing in the club and who had already played, and I wanted to play games against people I hadn't already played.
Yeah.
So I messaged them, and Harvey was one of them. And he invited me to this group, but there seems to be a group for everything nowadays
messenger groups
called Malifaux Mondays, but actually it's Guild Ball. They haven't played any Malifaux, it's just Guild Ball Mondays. And it was Guild, they're going to try to do Monday nights around Harvey's, because Harvey's wife is out on Monday nights and he's looking after the kids who are in bed.
Right.
So Guild Ball round Harvey's. Yeah.
Guild Ball round Harvey's. Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
And he's got a beautiful house and a fantastic dog. And he's got space to put a couple of tables down.
What kind of dog is that? I'm trying to remember. It's a big ass dog, like a wolfhound.
What do they
something.
Call that breed that like drags boats in? Like, as it's what it's bred for. Like, it's right. Like loves water. Newfoundland.
Newfoundland.
And it's massive. Like, its face, its head is bigger than your head. You know?
It's a big old head.
And he's just so. He's called Shadow, and he's just so lovely. Because he'd have to be. A dog that size would have to be lovely, because it would, like, eat you otherwise.
Yeah, it would just crush you under its feet.
Yeah, but this dog's so happy to see you, and he sits on your feet, and it's really heavy, and it's like, ow, that's my feet. Yeah, like,
it
I love it.
It eats so much food. Yeah. It must be
just
known as.
It's not cheap.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And because it's so big, the breed, like, I think they have to have so many vet bills and stuff to rebuild him.
I think Harvey said he needed 2 hip replacements in his first year.
Yeah.
First year.
I know.
Like, from being a pup, 2 hip replacements. God almighty.
Yeah.
Anyway,
But if I had a dog, that is the dog I would have. I would love that dog.
Hannah would love it.
Oh my God.
It would eat the cat. That's yeah, a stupid yeah. snap.
So anyway, I played a couple of games, and I got 2 games of Guild Ball there at Harvey's, and I got to play both Dave, who I'd set up, and then I got the second game against Harvey, which was really good.
Okay, so Dave, Morticians.
Dave used Morticians. I'm using the build that I'm going to run, which is the Masons, the Wall team.
The Armour Skew.
So Dave's Morticians, and then Harvey used Fishermen.
And
I won both. It was a tight game against Dave, because his Morticians went like 2 goals up, but I then just didn't give him any momentum at all. I realised I could just give him no momentum.
Right.
So I was knocking some of his players down and giving him no momentum back to stand them up, and I was kind of managing his team then.
Right.
It was good, because I just dug my fingers
just control.
In. Just control. And I won 12-8 at the end.
Wow.
Yeah, which was good.
With Flint scoring 3 goals or something.
Flint, did he score? I can't remember, but it was mostly takeouts, really.
Wow.
The game against Harvey was a lot quicker. Fisherman, he tried for a few big plays, but it didn't work, and I countered them and won back. Then on the Tuesday, randomly, Dan messaged me for a game of Guild Ball. And I played him randomly after work here.
3 games in a week?
in 2 days. I got three games in.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's pretty impressive.
And Dan's, I was expecting to get hammered because Dan is actually rated as the best Masons player in the world, like from tournament results.
Wow.
So I was expecting to get hammered, and he used Fisherman, but a different Fisherman build, like a fighty one. And actually, it was 12-10. So, or 12-8. Well, it was very close. Basically, I was shooting for a goal with Flint and missed with three dice, which if I'd scored would have won. So it was a lot closer against him than I was expecting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Should have used more dice.
I mean, I was lucky to get the shot on goal because Flint had to come and take the ball off. Dodge. Basically, everything had to work perfectly.
Right.
And it included getting a double dodge and push.
Dodge push. Yeah.
On two hits that I had after I tackled like him, I had to work, and it all paid. But then I missed the easy thing, which was kicking the goal. But it evens out. Luck evens out. And then on Wednesday, Nav came over, and I managed. We played a quick game of War Machine at just 50 points, and then a game of War Master. I got to use Bretonians. He used Orcs and Goblins. Well, actually, Grimkor's Ardboys list.
Yeah,
you know,
that went well.
Well, I can see. I mean, I'm glad we've decided against it.
So the Idol of Mork, he sets it up. It gives a buff to any character within his side of the board.
Any character can use it, and to give them an unmodified 10 pass.
So like the Crown of Command buff for everybody within side of the board,
50 centimeters,
kind of.
It's only once and one character
per turn.
But if he rolls an 11 or 12, it's broken. So he rolled an 11.
I wouldn't have used it first turn. Probably. Yeah. Sounds a bit gung-ho.
Yeah, so that was amusing. Yeah.
I'm sure he loved it.
Then he tried to use all the trinkets he'd used on his shamans, and none of them worked as well. So, like... that was quite
perfect. Funny. A day at the office for orcs.
Hmm. So, anyway, it was good to play that game because then coming into this, I've now played two games recently with Bretonians to talk about the army, which is good.
Good.
And that's what I've been
And you
up
played
to...
Kill Team on Wednesday.
Oh, yes, of course. And then I went down the club and I managed to play Darren at Kill Team, which was okay. So we got two games in. I used the Dark Elder Kill Team, and then I used the Gene Sealer Cult Kill Team, which I've based but not painted the models yet. And it was okay. I mean, Kill Team is... what can I say? It's like, it's very, like, you're playing it in like 20 minutes, and it's like, this is what I do. Like, my Geneseers are running around, they don't even need the cover because they're just, there's no difference to them in the open or in cover. So they're just like, here you go, that's my, try and shoot my Geneseer before it jumps on you. You know, like,
turns your throat out.
Yeah.
Okay, right, so what have I been up to? I played Eric at Guild Ball. Mm-hmm. That was, he woke up off his night shift and then came down and played.
I'm playing him later today, actually. Okay. Same deal.
Same deal.
When he wakes up from his
off his night shift. Yeah.
But we're playing Marvel.
That's probably a better idea.
Yeah.
He was playing Hunters. They seem really tricksy.
Yeah.
Like really difficult to play with because they don't generate momentum from the stuff they're doing, and they do everything at range. So I was just winning the momentum battle every turn, and then activating Shark, getting the ball and scoring. So I got the kickoff, got the ball scored. He got the ball out. Shark, activated next turn, tackled the ball, dodged away, scored. Next turn, tackled the ball, dodged away, scored.
Well, they call it, because the first activation in a turn of Guild Ball is, they call it like, what do they call it, like...
I call it like an alpha strike.
Well, no, but it's like, because there's no counter, there's no momentum, neither of you's got momentum. So it's like,
oh,
it's
look, I can't
it's clean,
in one
it?
Momentum.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, as I say, like, it's, because you can come in and do those things because you know you can't counter, and there's a term for it I got heard, which was true for Guild Ball. Well, never mind. Yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that can happen when you're playing with Fishermen. You can just like lopsidedly win the game incredibly quickly, 12-0.
Yeah.
So that happened, and he was a little bit frustrated with his bear and other shenanigans. And then what else did I do? I'm on Magic on Monday. That was good. 20-player draft. Mm-hmm. So that was nice and busy. But that's hard work. After a day of dealing with the builders and then 20-player draft. And then Wednesday night, my wife was back late. I only managed to get a quick game against Sherwin, the monster. So, I think Sherwin asked me once why, or maybe it was you, I can't remember. Somebody asked me why I didn't think they were right to be like a demonstrator, demoer, like a press ganger.
Yes, yeah.
I said, your mindset's not right for it. It's like you've got to be happy to get basically let them win. Try to make them, like, have a game, but let them win.
Yeah, yeah.
Sherwin's, like, full on, man. Like, what's that quote? It was like, there's nothing better. It's like a Conan quote. To hear the weeping of women, the wailing of
the lamentation of the women.
That's how Sherwin lives his life. So it's like, have you played these before? No, no. Do you want to read the cards? No, no, no. Like, two turns later, the game's finished.
Yeah.
It's like, sugar. Because I got the ball on kickoff playing Guild Ball. He was playing. Oh, what was he playing? What's name some teams?
Alchemists?
No, Clockwork Eyes.
Oh, engineers. Yeah.
So normally what happens is I fanny about at the back, building up momentum, so that turn two, I go and score.
Yeah.
But somehow he managed to generate more momentum in that turn than I did. And he did that for every turn in the game. Even though some turns I had the ball, he was generating more momentum. So he's doing that uncounterable turn thing.
Yeah.
And his range play was so effective that he took a player out turn one just from range. It's like, oh my god. So basically, game's over by the end of turn two.
Mm-hmm.
You monster.
So do you think that all Guild Ball teams are equal?
All Guild Ball players aren't equal. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm not at the stage of being able to play tournament level.
Yeah.
It's a similar thing with War Machine, and it's a good thing. Mm. It's a good thing that the game is difficult, and you have to invest in it and learn it. And,
yeah.
But it can be quite unforgiving. Like, by the end of my second turn, the game was finished.
Yeah.
And, like, I just said, that'll do, Sherwin.
Yeah.
I've had enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can go and do something else now. I've had my punishment. And I like that, because I can go ruminate about it later and think, what could I have done differently?
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not sure. Fair enough. Sherwin, probably. Is the answer. But anyway, so that was that.
You're right about, like, quality of players, because there's a big markup between, some players are good, but isn't, like in any game system, like, some players are just better than others, aren't they?
I've talked about it last week where I was playing, and I didn't know the synergies. Mm-hmm. I think we played around here, and I was playing Butchers.
Yeah.
And it was quite an even game. There was a big maul in the centre. And then virtually identical matchup, you played Sherwin. Within two turns, your team was gone.
Yeah, exactly.
And it wasn't anything inherently different in what the models did. It's what he was doing with the models.
Yeah.
On the final note on Guild Ball, because it's not the Guild Ball podcast all, is that they're going into the third season and they're making some very good changes.
Yeah,
it
does sound interesting. That's cool. That's every character will have new cards. I hope they sell you physically the new cards.
I think that's the plan.
Which is great.
But you don't have to download them.
Yeah, you can download them if you want, but I'd buy the cards because I don't have the nicest. I'd rather that. And also, I hope that they redo their tokens to be up to date with their models, tokens.
I don't think they've changed any of the names of the things.
But I hope they give out a pack that has all the tokens that you need in it, or something. Cause,
were saying you wanted the tokens for the new stuff.
I'd rather they sold, every time they sold a Guild Ball model, a new one, I'd rather, it had some tokens, unique tokens to that faction in it, personally.
Yeah. I mean, Confrontation, which was a great game back in the day, they did that.
Yeah.
You bought, it had a little set of, wounding tokens, and had any specific token, any cards
X-Wing
for that.
Does that. You're not, most of the money, I guess, of an X-Wing model is not the little ship, it's the cards and the,
plastic clam cases and stuff.
Well, no, it's
they're expensive.
It's all the bits that come with that ship. Because you look at it and you just see the ship and you go, it's a lot of money for that plastic ship, but it's everything that goes with it. They're ready to go out of the packet.
Yeah, you've got your counters and your
exactly.
Your cards.
Exactly.
And stuff. Yeah.
So it's that's what you're buying, really. And I just think, it'd be cool to see that. Personally, if they were doing this kind of soft reset of season three, that's what I'd like to see. Personally,
you'd be glad to hear that lots of Butchers players are wailing and gnashing teeth and moaning about the nerfs.
Good.
That's what I say. Good. Bugger them.
Yeah.
Because I'd like to see a little bit more emphasis on the ball and scoring and football.
Yeah.
And not, it's not like Bash Fest, is it?
Yeah.
It's like WrestleMania. It's supposed to be football.
Yeah. It's true.
This is why I pick the football team, and even I have to get. Sometimes you have to fight, but God almighty, some teams literally just stick it up their jumper, they're not interested.
Yeah, fools. I mean, you're right. You know, I mean, I would like to see more of the football in it. I mean, like Dan's fisherman team that I lost to when he came round. I mean, it didn't he? You know, he
wasn't, did he go near the ball?
He wasn't interested in the ball. He was like, but it was very clever because he's a very good player. But it's like he was just in it to knock my players out. And it's like, it's not what you expect from a fisherman team. I was like, hang on a sec, aren't they meant to be the football team? So it's like, so we start scrapping and attrition. And it was close, but like he didn't even score a goal. He didn't even like go for a goal.
Weird, man.
Yeah.
Weird. Well, maybe that means the risk reward's not right. Maybe the, I don't know, what is it, 4 points for goal?
Yes.
Well, you couldn't break it six, but you could maybe make it five, so two goals and one knockout.
Maybe. Yeah, like, or by reducing the knockouts to one.
Well, they've done that for mascots.
Well, that's good, because mascots are too easy to knock out.
Oh, especially when you did it with a bear and got 3 points for knocking out a mascot.
It otter.
Exactly. It would take, like, one swipe with a bear. Otter's dead. Get off. Jesus. Have you seen it played against the bear yet?
Yeah, well, I thought it was the mascot.
The mascot!
I was like, is that your mascot then, that bear? And he's like, no, the cat's my mascot. And he's like, oh.
The cat's badass, but the bear's ridiculous.
I mallet missiled that cat, so it didn't worry me.
Mallet missile. Right, so good. We'll do the KR sponsorship, get out of the way. So thank you, Mr. KR,
for your
epic product. It's very nice.
Yeah.
I like KR. And not just for Warmaster.
I like KR, but most
of
KR.
For most of my stuff, even my little, what was I playing? Guild Ball. That's in KR.
Yeah, I use a little KR case for that. My
Black Gate miniatures painted and production molds and stuff. Masters, they're all in KR cases.
Good.
They're cheap, they're good, they're stackable.
Yep.
Buy KR. Right. I'm going to make a little jingle. So we just put the jingle, any jingle here. So buy KR cases. Right, so with today's match, Bretonians versus Tomb Kings.
Yes, indeed.
Do you want me to do my list first?
Yeah.
Right. This is my tournament Tomb Kings list. So it's obviously skewed because that's how I do things. So we had the minimum of infantry, so skeletons 4 and skeleton bowmen 4. We had 4 skeleton cavalry, maximum chariots 6, obviously, maximum carrion 2, maximum skull chuckers 2, and then maximum characters. So a Tomb King, 4 lich priests, and a rod of repetition. So yeah, I'm gonna go beefy because I figure the infantry's crap.
Breakpoint scouts, what are they?
Scout was 6, I think, which is quite low.
Yeah.
But the breakpoint was 11, which is decent.
Yeah.
Especially as I'm not exposing any of that infantry, so my idea is hit him with something at range with like chariots or horsemen, and then bring the chaff.
Yeah.
Bring the chaff. That was the plan. What was your list, sir?
So, before we start, there's 2 Bretonian lists, Bretonian and Bretonian Tournament. Are we talking about both lists?
We are, because I can't be bothered doing another whole episode on the regular one.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, so it's like, I mean, or are we just going to not talk about the regular one because we dropped the regular one over the tournament?
Yeah, just forget about the regular one. I don't know why you play the regular one.
Yeah, okay, so we'll get that out of the way now. There's 2 Bretonian lists, Bretonian regular and Bretonian tournament. The tournament only adds a few options compared to the regular one. There's no, like, it doesn't take away anything.
Does it reduce the cost on the trebuchet, I think?
Oh,
are they ridiculously expensive in the regular one?
Yes, you're well spotted.
I think it's like lunacy.
Yeah.
Are they 150 or something?
150 in the regular.
And they're a one of, or a maximum one.
Yeah.
They're just horrible.
Oh, I never spotted that.
That's horrible.
Well done.
They're not that good.
No, exactly. They're not that good. But, like, I didn't even clock that.
Yeah. And
That's why you have backup, listeners.
So the tournament list is hands down way better than the original list.
So if you keep up to date with our podcast, you know that we are producing a 2017 armies season, like of armies which are allowed. Obviously, the ones that had 2 like choices, we had to decide one of them. And between the 4 of us, that's the 2 guys that run the Triwiz, we voted for Bretonian tournament list.
Yeah.
So
it was 4-0. It was 4-0.
Yeah, forget the Bretonians.
So we just want to quickly say what the differences are. Apart from the trebuchet, I think you don't get Pegasus Knights in the regular one.
No.
Which is just ridiculous. Because they need some.
So in the regular list, trebuchets cost more, you don't have Pegasus Knights, and you don't have a Hippogriffin, and you don't have a Grail Weliki.
If you take those away from Bretonian, you really wouldn't ever want to play Bretonian.
Yeah.
Because for what are you playing them?
Exactly.
Just for the break advantage.
Oh, and the only other thing it does do... Oh, no, it has that in the same as well. That's it, yeah.
Yeah, just forget about it. Just pretend it doesn't exist, the regular one.
Yeah.
And go on to the tournament list.
So, my list was two bowmen, two men-at-arms.
Oh, you went heavy on the infantry.
Two peasants.
Why were there two peasants?
I'll tell you why. Like, two squires, then five units of knights, two units of grail knights, two units of Pegasus knights, two trebuchets, a general who I've mounted on a hippogriffin with a sword of cleaving, a hero who I've mounted on a Pegasus with a sword of might, and two naked enchantresses.
Naked?
Oh, yes. No. Oh, dear.
Naked.
Matron.
So, yeah, it was an interesting list.
Yeah, so that gave me, with a break point of 5, because only the knights count, and a scouting value of 13, which is about as high as a scouting gets, because that's gone for three fine things. I could make it more, yeah, if I wanted to fly, if I wanted to scout with the general. So two.
You didn't even scout with the general, because it's not his job, is it?
It's not his job. He's not his job. And then the squires can also scout as well. And the idea is,
oh my god, you could go like to 20 or something.
I could have gone 15.
No, why?
Because I use the squires; they're 2 points each.
Oh right, okay.
And then the two units of flyers; they're 3 points each, and then two flying characters.
Okay, might be 60.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So the idea behind the army is that, as you might know, I favour something of everything. But looking carefully at the list, when I realised that there's no point. Like this is how we're going to, I think, differ in the army review. Is that personally, I don't rate Bretonian infantry at all, and so I don't want to take a lot of it. Now that does make that you would say, okay, so for scenario play. Do you want more infantry because there's times you're going to need infantry for some scenarios? Well, yeah, you probably do, but Bretonians are not that list. Like, what, you know, in a sense, like, what is, to me, what is a Bretonian list? And it is a shedload of knights with gung-ho characters. And that's really what Bretonians are to me. So I'm willing to put my general on a hippogriffin. He's the only one that can ride it as well. And I have a lovely hippogriffin model that I wanted to use.
Yeah, it's lovely.
And yeah, it's about ramming some knights into people. The Grail Reliquary I've left off. I mean, it doesn't make peasants any better.
It does. It makes them better.
But it's like it's not worth it. They're still rubbish. In my head. But we'll go on that as the army review. So that's the idea of the army, is that I will try to risk not as many knights as I need. I want the enemy to fight my chaff.
But you don't have any chaff.
Well, no, but squires and men-at-arms. Yeah, I'll put the infantry forward. Yeah, the squires will be forward. So I've got two brigades of chaff. The squires and the infantry brigade I'll make. If I've got complete choice on deployment, and I want to get as many rounds of shooting as I can out of the trebuchets as well, which I think are great.
Mm-hmm. They're an interesting piece.
Yes.
They're an interesting
but
piece.
You need to protect them, as like in this game showed. They at least they can fire indirectly. But again, that's coming onto the army review of it.
Okay.
So we've got to talk about how the match went, haven't we?
Yeah, it was an interesting match.
You saw.
Okay, right. So you won scouting by miles, obviously.
Yeah, it wasn't a contest.
So he put in his stuff, and then I set up trying to kind of keep my stuff out of range of his trebuchet.
Which is 80 centimetres.
That's a long old range. And trying to make him, if he's going to shoot indirectly. I needn't have bothered, because he made that anyway. Because he hid them behind his own stuff to prevent me charging them.
My reason is because Bretonians have no defensive artillery piece. If carrion, a unit of under par flyers, you know, standard flyers, comes in to attack the trebuchets, they would take the trebuchets off.
Both of them. Probably.
Easily.
Yeah.
But no,
that's what I was going to do.
Yeah.
But that just never became.
It's like, it's so almost guaranteed. Because the trebuchets are massive, they're on big bases as well.
Yeah.
It's like, you can't protect them from a charge in terms of like, I'll set up to receive the charge. The only thing you can do is put stuff in front of them.
So you put bowmen in front, yep. And then bowmen before.
That's right.
So I'd have to take a charge. I'd have to charge the bowmen.
If you charge
the
bowmen, I would let the bowmen die. Then you would
after shooting you
would advance into the second unit of bowmen, and at least then I'd have a turn to try and get these things before the trebuchet. You attack.
Yeah, I've probably lost at least one stand to the shooting.
Yeah,
because I've got two lots of shooting coming in, mm-hmm. And your bowmen has still got three attacks.
Yeah, it's still got three attacks. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, it's not guaranteed that I'm even going to win.
So that's how I that's what I chose to do with it.
It was interesting because there was me hiding myself, and then he just hit them anyway. I was hiding from him, and he just hit them and they bothered.
No, I was never going to set them up open. Yeah. Like they were only, and they were going to appear. Come, I would move the bowmen away once the carrion were done with, dealt with.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Which is a good thing to do. And then I just set up blobbed in the middle, basically, in normal formation. Normal blob formation. And then I passed it on to Paul.
So, looking at the game state of it, like, I want combats on my turn to avoid the raised deads. And I want to, I just want to time the knight charges correctly, really. I built the army to have a brigade of four knights, and then a brigade of a knight and two grail knights, so three and four units. That's my punch. I need to look at the right targets for the Pegasus Knights. But I think early game, really, the favour of command and dice was with Barry, actually, yeah, because you got attacks on me.
You moved your Pegasus Knights out to charge, and they didn't.
Yeah.
Because I think you let them... No, it was a hero that was doing it, so it was an eight. And then I charged them with my carrion, and then swarmed around my wizards, which left me struggling for command the next turn.
But it was worth it.
Yeah, because I got the skeletons in the back, raised dead, so now you're charged front and back. Yeah. Well, not charged and back, but you've nowhere to go, and that cost you your Pegasus Knights.
That's right, yeah.
And then return, you got my raised skeletons, and you got the Pegasus, my carrion.
Yeah, with my second unit of Pegasus Knights. So basically, I've lost the unit of Pegasus Knights and knackered a second one for really one carrion. Overall, when
net one carrion.
Yeah, it's a net one carrion. So it's like that wasn't good, because they count for my break and.
I don't know how I got the second unit of Pegasus Knights. I can't remember, but it was a similar deal, I think.
You got them. You charged in the squires with chariots, and then you managed to.
Oh my god! You only had one stand left, didn't you?
Yeah, only one stand left.
And that had the Pegasus hero in it.
And that had the Pegasus hero in it, yeah. Because but the thing is, what it's different build. Like I've never built a list that has two like mounted flying characters in it, and it does. I mean, and Bretonians are like that. You've got to risk. I think you should send in fighty characters. That is a Bretonian way.
Right. So that,
but again, this is going on to the army review, which we'll.
Okay, so that combat for my one carrion costs both the Pegasus in effect.
Yeah. Yeah.
And your character.
Yeah.
So that left you two of your five break gone.
Yeah.
And relying on wizards to do the majority of the
stuff. It was a choice to do, but I mean, you got to risk all. If it had paid off, like say, I'd have sent my Pegasus into your carrion, I'd have happily exchanged them because then they'd be behind your army and just difficult for you to react to them. Hopefully, I'll get them to come back again. Anyway,
So Pegasus Knights are interesting. We'll talk about them later.
Yeah, yeah. Because with the Bretonian spell list with a movement spell, they are a very interesting unit to have. Because they could theoretically home back somewhere, move somewhere. Character comes up and orders them again. Like move again
from miles away.
Yeah, yeah. So they can come in at some very interesting angle.
But it's a five up, so you'd have to ring a magic in.
Bretonians have a good argument really for a ring of magic. But we'll see. Yeah.
Okay, right. So so that was the early game. So you were two of your five down, and your king now is doing everything.
Yeah.
Because you can't rely on wizards to order anything.
No, not really. Not a second order.
No, yeah. so the king decides right now. So he picks up the unit, the brigade of four knights.
Yeah, so basically, Barry...
Oh, no, that wasn't
I
true.
Tried to attack your chariots.
Failed the order. And so I set my chariots in.
The chariots come in against me, and sort of mutual destruction on both sides.
No, it's better than that. So I killed two units of knights.
Yeah.
So you're now down to one break.
Yeah.
Right. Already. And it's only turn three.
Yes, because
you lose both of those.
I've lost four units, yeah. That's right.
So you're down to one break.
Yeah.
And he set up, so there's two knights on the front and then two knights behind. And I, gung ho, decide to go and pursue the king who's in one of the back units of knights. And this is where the game changed.
Yeah.
Because if I'd have backed away then, I only need one more break.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't have been able to do what you did next, which was I charged in with two stands into his king. Yeah. Lost the combat.
Yep.
You pursued at that unit.
Yep.
At the remainder of the other unit.
Yep.
And then reformed to charge into the flank of another unit.
I saw an opportunity with a good reform roll. I could be in the flank and initiative range of another two units of cavalry.
Yeah.
everything paid off, but I didn't get within initiative range. But luckily, the king made his roll of orders, and they sent them in anyway.
So from that point of being one stand down, one stand left to one unit down to a real break, the king actually being the generals is relevance now. Because if you lose a unit of knights, it doesn't matter if the king's in it or not, you lose. So that guy ate two units like a Pac-Man, and then he moved up, and the next turn ate two more units, so he'd eaten four units. And then he was in a unit of knights, which were completely unhurt, right in the middle of my army. But I couldn't get into him because I failed the initiative.
Well, I don't have initiative.
So I don't have initiative, so I rolled to win.
That unit got attacked by carrion in the rear, and they beat them. And the knights beat them. Drew with them. They drew. Because the king, directs his attacks.
Because he is the king.
The king is throwing four dice with one re-roll of a dice with a sword of cleaving. It's quite nice.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So then, the king... did he go into the carrion, or did he bring up another unit?
Another unit did that. He did
with the king?
Yeah, with the king. He went and joined the next unit now.
So he's worn this unit out. He's got a bit dinged up by the carrion. Yeah. Brings another unit up.
Yep.
Of the remaining, the four brigade that's got one more untouched unit left.
Yep.
That comes in, eats the carrion.
Yep.
And then that gets charged by something, because it gets dinged up and then runs away.
No, that's it. Because that fresh unit takes out your carrion. But on that flank, you've got infantry and wood. So I can't attack them.
Right, so they've
done their job now, so they're backing off.
So he runs them away, right to the bottom left-hand corner.
Yep.
And he's got a three and a two, left.
Yes.
So unit three and unit two. Yep. And then the king goes all the way back.
Flies over to the other side.
To the trebuchets, where his Grail Knights are.
Yeah, which has been held in position by wizards. So he comes over to order then the Grail Knight Brigade. Two Grail Knights and another unit of Knights. And he starts using them.
So while this is going on, in the middle, I'm trading my skeletons and Ray skeletons for all your chaff.
Yeah, which I'm fine.
Which you don't care about.
Watching the peasants die. it's funny. Lord, help us! And it's like, don't care about you.
His trebuchet are eating through my stuff while I'm eating through your peasants.
Yep.
With my skull chuckers.
Yep.
And... this is getting towards... Is it turn eight now?
You
still haven't used your Grail Knights or the other unit of Knights. They're just hiding behind the trebuchet.
Waiting their moment.
And I think I was probably at this point down to six break.
Yeah.
And then you came out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And so the king managed to get his knights coming forward. One of them, the way the orders fell, one unit got shot back. So I've got these two intact Grail Knight units. And they swing it back to me needing... They manage to do enough damage that I need to get one more unit of Barrys.
You position yourself so you're in the flank of my skull chuckers.
Which will be automatically the score.
Yeah.
So basically the game went from early on where I thought, oh, I'm going to lose this quite easily, quite quickly. I managed to hang in there enough to almost win it back. Mm.
Yeah, because...
Because there were times when if my trebuchet, say, had spiked a roll and destroyed a unit from shooting, that would have won me the game. Because I ended up needing one more. I dinged up a lot of units, of undead units, with the trebuchets.
Yeah.
If they'd rolled one spike and killed them on a driven back unit, I did five wounds and got over 20 on the dice back, then that would have won me the game.
Or your men-at-arms.
Yeah, or managed to do something.
Because
there are lots of little things where... if I'd finished off that unit, I'd have won the game then. But it was great because I did think, oh, it's a shame. This is going to be a bit of a limp game because Barry's got the drop on me and he's done too much and he'll win now. But because Bretonians play with the break value of an army, you can hang it. I mean, you're like, okay, now fight my chaff here. It doesn't matter.
It
didn't matter. We stretched that out a bit. And generally, it was almost to the point where it was threatening Barry's clock even.
Yeah.
I finished the game with 40 minutes still to play. It's still going.
Because you didn't fight on your turn.
Well, exactly, yeah. It was
the king,
the fights I had were very one-sided in my turn. It was just they're charging in the flank here and there's
So this... skeleton rolls one dice.
Yeah.
And you roll, what's that? What's that?
19
dice.
Boom.
Okay.
Yeah. It's almost not worth. Just take it off. But it was cool. I really, I'm a bit of a broken record with saying this about War Master armies, but I guess that's why I'm in a War Master podcast. But I really liked Bretonians. Like, they were really fun armies. I'd use them in a tournament, definitely.
I think they'd be really strong at like the five objectives with the one in the middle.
Yeah.
When you go for that objective in the middle, stuff's going to hurt.
Yeah. They wouldn't be good at meeting engagement because they...
Random deployment
yeah.
stuff.
Because, I mean, we're going to... Okay, so anyway, the game... Because it's all going into the army review.
Okay.
So the game ended where Barry won. He'd broken my knight, so he'd scored 5. And I had scored... 10, didn't I?
Yeah,
yeah,
and that was I had to load everything. I shot archers,
yeah.
both by skull chuckers,
yeah.
wizards, and the king died in a single stand
yeah.
unit.
Yeah,
so he died
with his Grail Knight, his loyal Grail Knight. Very kingly, day. got a rock to the face.
I loved it when he went back home. Said, "I've worn out these knights. Yeah. And fresh knights.
Mon Dieu, the knights are dead. I need some more over here. Ah, these Grail Knights.
They took
are,
them out.
Yeah,
took
they
them
are
out.
Fine. These ones. Look at their mustaches."
Own, with his yep. handlebar moustache,
yep.
no doubt.
Yeah, and his garlic baguette.
Right, so well done. It was a good game. As I say, like turn 2, it looked like it was finished.
Yeah.
Turn 8, it looked like I was finished.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
So,
army review time.
Army list. You want to do? When do we do your fluff? Is it
oh
now?
Yeah, fluff. Yeah, the fluff bomb. Okay. Ah, mon Dieu, what is that in the sky? It is a plane. Fluff bomb.
I've got no idea.
What do you think?
Wasting your time, mate. Wasting your time. Apart from Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Not far wrong. Like,
and John Cleese's character up in the tower.
Yeah, not far wrong. I hate you, English.
I break wind in your general direction. Yeah. That kind of thing.
So, okay, Bretonians. Basically, they're French. Like a medieval French army. That's what they are. Yeah, like, so... in the fluff, like, Bretonian is... The land of Bretonia is the second strongest, like, human nation next to the Empire. Because the Empire is in its name, is strong because it's amalgamated together.
Yeah.
So that's good. Like, Bretonians don't... But they're like France, basically. Like, they're a bigger one... They're a one nation, but they're not quite as strong as when the Empire's working together.
Yeah.
And they are all about chivalry and honour, and they worship this thing. It's completely rip-off of several things.
Oh,
they
like
worship,
Excalibur.
Yeah, like the Excalibur Arthur myth, they completely rip that off. Basically, it's a sword in the stone, even, and they have all that, and it's like, yeah, they worship a lady in the lake. And
this
it's
was
like,
in the era, I like
they're looking for the Grail.
The great IP hoovering. Of the 90s, where it's just like, go around, find
yeah.
anything anywhere,
yeah.
just jump it in.
That's an army, isn't it? Like, they specialise in mounted knights. They don't use gunpowder. It is unchivalrous. And they literally look like, the models look like they're straight out of a medieval war
yeah.
game. Except, aside from the only real fantasy element of it is the wizards themselves, the enchantrists. And the Pegasus Knights,
okay.
the Pegasus Riders, are the only thing that is really fantasy at all in the army. Yeah, that's it.
So we have the sword and stone, do we?
We do. It is in there. And you have some interesting special characters.
Who's
like
the Green
Knight?
Knight. I was going to say,
So basically, Bretonians kicking along. And Gates thing is, Games Workshop did nothing with this faction for so long. In fantasy, where, you know, 28mm scale, Warhammer Fantasy, they were untouched for, like, Wood Elves, the longest of times. And
they never got touched again.
So basically, Games Workshop produced third edition fantasy or something, where they had plastic Bretonians and lizard men as the starting forces. That was it. That was all the Bretonians ever got. Like,
yeah. Man. And they're still talking about lance formations.
Yeah, yeah.
And
it's like,
what are
with
you
books that
about?
Are like 12 years old. Yeah, you know, it's like they were so. Unloved.
Oh, unloved.
Yeah.
The right word.
Almost hilariously so. Because Skaven got the last of 7th edition fantasy books. So their book was almost really 8th edition anyway. Bretonians were lagging so far behind by the end of 8th.
So right. who was the green
it was the
knight,
it turned out to be a king or son of a king or something. Basically, a very famous Bretonian character from history, like the Charles, like the original Breton guy, the Breton, the
Mr.
guy who
Breton.
Made Bretonian was actually a reincarnated like Green Knight.
Because I seem to remember in fantasy, if you killed him, he came back.
Yeah.
So you could never kill him; he just kept coming back every turn.
Yeah,
well, back again.
Exactly.
Hey!
Exactly. But he was on his own. He wasn't great. He couldn't fight units on his own because he'd lose to combat res. But yeah, exactly.
He just kept coming back.
Yeah, it kept popping
like Rocky. Rocky.
So and yeah, the Bretonians, like, there's not much to say about that fluff really. They resisted some orc invasions and like.
Wasn't there a lady? A lady in the lake?
But no, I say like they. They like kick along in their families until the end times, where basically they get ruined early on in the end times. But a band of knight, like the core, the best of what's left, rides off the forgets the Bretonians army and just like, we'll just ride off to help in the empire now. So they like the so they like. Yeah, all stars like a hat.
So just abandon the people.
They abandon their own people. Oh, yeah.
Just so, die.
So like, there's a band of like, there's a hard army of knights in the empire, and they help out until the point where they get disillusioned. Basically, it turns out that their lady in the lake is actually Ilariel the Ever Queen, and high elves have been, or like wood elves have been duping them since day one. They've been worshipping an elf goddess and they don't even know it was an elf goddess. So they're like, their complete culture is unfounded. Is it like, founded on lies? Just like, so the Bretonians, they don't go out in like a final battle. They just like...
Whimper.
They just like, well, forget it. They just disappear.
That's it.
Yeah.
Just walk the earth like Cain until it blows up.
Yeah, exactly. Walk the earth till Cain until it blows up. So it's sad, really. I mean, like, Bretonians, I mean... Anyway, the fluff for Bretonians just was old. Sadly. Old and French.
Old and French. So one of the big plus points for a Bretonian list is if you are a cheapskate and you don't want to spend big money on GW stuff, you can literally...
That's why playing.
So we got why?
Yeah, so
we'll save that, yeah. But you know what's coming there.
So we're going through. So we're going to go through now the Bretonian... I've said the fluff.
List.
Yeah, we're going to go through the Bretonian... Okay. We're going to go through the Bretonian army.
It's a list that I write and then you read. And then I forget I've done. And yeah. It's like I keep jumping everywhere. Yeah. So, Bretonian army list. Come on then, Paul.
I'll begin. So I have, this is the Bretonian tournament list. I have bowmen. They are infantry with three attacks and one shooting. They have three hits, no armour. Their units are, and they're 55 points. There's no min maximum on them. They're missile trooped bowmen, the same as Empire missile troop bowmen, except you don't have to have them.
Is 55 a normal rate for those?
Yes, it is, yeah. It's exactly the same as Empire crossbowmen.
Okay. They feel expensive to me, but...
No, but that is what missile troops cost. You could take... I mean, I'd take just a couple of units to... Because they have... I think two units is about right.
Okay. Yeah. I must admit, they're... apart from protecting the trebuchet, I can't imagine what else I'd use them
for. But they're completely... So we should say, so the army rules for the Bretonians is that basically only knights count for the break. So anything that isn't a knight means absolutely nothing. Like, it'll give you victory points if you're scoring victory points, but it does not mean anything to the break in the army, which is fantastic because they're completely expendable.
So how many units did you actually have? Because it talks about your breaks 9-5, which it is.
Yeah.
But how many disposable units did you have in your list?
2, 4, 6, 8. Six units of infantry, 2 units of cavalry, and 2 artillery pieces.
So 10 units?
Yeah.
Of complete disposable?
Yeah, completely disposable.
Okay. That's interesting. Because it's like kind of when you've got the raised skeletons.
Yep.
They're so meaningless. It's just like, they're dead. Meh, meh. As long as they've done something, I don't care.
Yep.
Right, so next one's men-at-arms. They're infantry, 3, 3, 6 up. They're 45 points. You have a minimum of 1, which means you have to take 2. And you did take 2. So it goes to show your disdain for the men-at-arms.
Yeah, I mean, these are exactly the same points as Empire.
Halberdiers.
They're standard human infantry. Yeah, nothing much to say, really. Except in this one, you only have to take 2 of them.
So you only take 2.
So, okay, good. I've got peasants. Right. Now, this is a debatable one. Peasants, infantry, 3-3-0. They're 30 points a unit, and you can have up to 4 of them in each 1,000 points. So you can have 8 units of peasants.
Good luck.
Right. Now, peasants have a special rule. Unit peasants suffers a -1 command penalty when given an order. However, this penalty is waived if the peasant unit is part of a brigade that includes at least one non-peasant unit. They cannot use initiative to charge, but they can use initiative to evade. And when they charge, they receive no bonus attack modifiers for doing so. Okay.
So we
can't mention peasants without the Grail Relic.
But that's, in general, 3-3-0 with no charge bonus is pretty poor. And minus
it's better than goblins. No. It's about the same. Goblins are 30 points.
Right?
But they have 2 attacks and 1 shooting shot.
Well, that's peasants don't know that. And they still get charge bonus.
But they mean nothing. They just sow the fields. We have to manage to the Grail, Reliquary. This is a 30-point upgrade, which would be in the fluff the bones of a famous knight.
So part of the True Cross.
The sacred item is borne by one unit of peasants, and you can have one in the entire list. The unit and all peasant units touching it become Grail pilgrims, as long as they keep in contact. They are immune to terror. Don't get the -1 command penalty and get +1 attack. They keep restriction to get no one for charging.
But they now have four attacks.
And they have to attack by initiative, same as knights do. And they cannot be driven back or confused. Before taking any special action with the Grail, you have to see if they're still touching. So that's what the Grail. A 30-point upgrade turns a unit of Grail.
Four units.
Well, it could. No, because it has to be touching.
It does. Four units. It turns four units of pilgrims into Grail pilgrims.
Peasants into Grail pilgrims.
Yeah, whatever it is.
So how do you get four units to touch it?
Because you put one in the back, in the middle, three in line, three in column, one in line on the front, in the middle.
Yeah, right.
So you turn them all, for 150 points, you get four units of 4-3-0, and that's four whatever.
It's still not good.
It's not good, but immune to terror, immune to shooting.
No armour.
I mean, something's got to get shot. Something in your army's got to get shot. Let it be these idiots.
Okay, well,
they've got four attacks going in to defend it.
But they've got no armour.
If something's going to go and clear something out of defended in your list, what's it going to be?
That would have. Okay, so I'll agree. That is the best thing you've got.
But that ain't
good enough. Like,
when you talk about spirit hosts, what are they?
Three. Always hit on fours, aren't they?
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, big deal. These are 4-3-0. They're cheapest chips.
Cheapest chips. I don't know. I mean, I think if you're okay, so if you're going to have peasants, there's two options. You either have a couple of minimum ones just to get.
There's no minimum, is there?
No, there is no minimum. So I use these peasants to be the second rank to men at arms because they can support as well as anybody. And they're not then given a -1 command anyway.
But that's a job for them.
That's a job for them. They just support. I'd rather put them in front because that would look more fun to like, have the peasants die first. But like, no, actually, the peasants just back up the men-at-arms.
The problem is that you're backing up chaff with more chaff.
Exactly. Like, at least you're giving static combat res. And like, all the other option is you take four units of peasants, give one of them the Grail Reliquary, set them up in that combination Barry just said.
And fire them in. Fire the missile.
Have a go. Like, see what they do.
I mean, what have you lost? 150 points.
30, 60, 90, 100, yes.
150 points, yeah. And it means nothing. So just fire that 150-point missile at something and see what it does.
At the very least, because they're not knights and in the pretending list they're worth nothing, at the very least they can just get in the way of the enemy. You know, like slow them down
a bit. Do some damage.
Like, do some damage, get in the way of the enemy.
If you charge them, they're doing 12 attacks.
Yeah. Might do something, might it?
Yeah. But anyway, I like them. You don't.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens going forward. Right, so what's that your peasants, isn't it? Squires.
Yeah.
So 3-1, they're cavalry, three attacks, one shooting, three hits, six of armour, they're 90 points, they're minimum one, maximum four.
Yes, yeah, so you're going to have two units, and their job's for scouting.
These are, I will certainly wouldn't take more than the minimum. I don't, what are they bringing?
A bit of cavalry, bit of range.
We don't need more cavalry.
On a small basis. I mean,
The range is negligible.
You have to have two, but if they weren't expendable, then there'd be a liability. But they are expendable, so who cares?
Okay, that's true.
You're going to have two units.
Yeah, but the juggling point, you say everything's expendable, which it is, but you still have to buy the units of knights.
But you're going to have to buy the units of squires.
Exactly. So you've got to try and get as many into your break as possible. You don't want a break of three.
No.
So I've got five units of knights,
and
if I lose three, I've lost.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which you could do. I could imagine someone like, what's the minimum? What's the minimum? Two.
Yeah.
I could imagine some monster building some list with two knights and hiding them in the corner and having an entire army of just chaff.
That is the other way to play Bretonians. Like, you should go knight heavy.
I would, because it feels good.
The other way to play him is to go knight incredibly light and do exactly what you just said.
Hide him in the corner,
just
have wave after wave of meaningless
chaff. Meaningless crap that means nothing.
Well, squires are not crap, they're not great.
No.
They're like,
yeah.
For 20 extra points, I'll take the extra armour.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's minimum two, and unless you're doing that crazy skew build,
yeah,
which I'd like to see in action, because how are you going to win that game? Mm. How are you going to win that game under the clock? You've got to kill everything to get to these two sodding knights that are hiding in the corner.
Well, the difference is
you'll have to kill one of them, admittedly.
I think it'll just be about quick play on your turns, won't it?
You have to kill them. They don't just.
Well, yeah,
you
yeah, but,
just,
yeah, but
you
like,
have to roll the dice.
But none of these chaff have high hit points or high armor, so the combat should be quite fast because you just they're just taking them off when they get hit. So it could happen. I can see. Yeah.
It's interesting. But I don't know how much of a bad taste that would leave in my mouth.
You'd have to play fast in the early turns. Yeah, like to get through that.
I mean, it wouldn't be hard to kill all the chaps in the. But what would you have left? Like in the game today, what did I have left towards the end of the game that was useful?
Well, if you were. I mean, that was the because of the matchup, because Tomb Kings don't have an attrition-y unit, really. Because their chariots are three hits and five up armour.
And they all got dinged up.
If you had a unit of, like. If you were an army that had, like, dwarves or chaos warriors. It'd be the same. The thing I've said, like, before. So basically, you're talking about having a horde army style of approach with Praetorians, mm-hmm. same like Skaven. And what beats Skaven? A brigade of Chaos Warriors.
Yeah.
What would beat that horde of Praetorian chaff? Brigade of Chaos Warriors, because they would just hack their way through all of this stuff and like take barely any damage back, and they'd just be like doing it every turn. Like I go in, slaughter 2-3 units. Your turn, did nothing to me. My turn, slaughter 2-3 units. Your turn. Okay.
I can just imagine these two units of knights just running away with the king pulling them along. Come on, let's go over here now. Exactly. Go to the other corner.
Exactly. I mean, it'll run out of table eventually. But
So that's interesting that the list has been built in such a way, designed in such a way that it can allow completely different skews of the list.
Yeah, I mean, there's.
I would have preferred maybe a little bit more on the minimum for the actual knights.
Oh, okay, yeah, fair enough.
Because it's only two, isn't it?
It should be minimum two. Like, or maybe like four units.
So maybe minimum two of knights and minimum one of grail. I mean, you have minimum six.
Yeah.
Because you're Bretonian. You shouldn't be fanning around with two units of knights.
Yeah, you shouldn't be.
So maybe that's something I'll be pushing forward when we do our list.
Yeah, well,
not 2017, 2018. Yeah.
But fair enough. I mean, I'd agree to that because I don't think that build is what the army should be.
No.
Yeah. Right. Okay, so you talked about squires. So, knights.
Squires. Two at the moment.
Yeah.
That's it.
Knights. Obviously,
you can have
cavalry.
Eight. You can have eight. I don't know why you... See, that's that same build, isn't it? You've got eight squires.
Cut that down. So, knights of cavalry. They have three... They're empire knights. So, it's three hits, three armour... Sorry. Three attacks, three hits, and four up armour for 110 points. So, you've got... So they're exactly the same as empire knights, except they have to charge. So
that's a negatrait.
That's a negatrait. They're immune to terror. That's a plus trait.
Yeah, so it's fine.
And... They actually count for break in this army, and you're going to have it's only one, isn't it? So, but this is what you. I mean, I took five units.
Five seems like where I'd be. In fact, I think five is what I'm planning for my list. Is it any different in the regular one? I think it's exactly the same. The minimums.
There's not a lot to say there because they are the standard heavy cavalry of the game.
So like, they've got a negatrate, they've got a charge which can be exploited.
Yes,
but they've got a positive.
And I think that's the thing is like, I think that a good player with the right combinations in their army could exploit the fact they have to charge because you can draw them out of position, like where they're only attack with one or two stands because you set it up right. They have to do it.
Mm.
And then they get again. Then so you basically, if you had the, if say in an army, you send forward some of your like cheaper stuff, the knights are drawn in to fight them, and then you counter with your better stuff that beats the knights.
Yeah,
and thus wins you the game because breaking knights is how you beat them. Yeah, is winning the game for you.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So then we have Grail Knights, the big hitters.
So they're in the fluff. They're the knights that have found the Holy Grail, and that makes them very pious, and they're just. They're basically Grail Knights are meant to be as good as a man can get, like in the old world.
The best
like,
a man can
the
get.
Best, best, the best a man can get.
So they're just book standard knights, 3-3, 4 up. They're 120 points. They're a maximum of one, and that is because they've got the Brucey bonus.
Yep.
They get like
they get
monsters.
Basically chariot bonus or monster bonus.
Yeah.
They're charging in the open. They get an extra attack. So that means that three stands will do 15 dice.
That is a lot of dice on something with 4 up armor.
Yeah.
That's like. Cold ones.
Exactly.
It's very nice.
Yeah, yeah.
It does a lot of hurt.
But I mean, and they're right. They're good points, as in good rules for them, because the maximum one, there aren't that many Grail Knights. Like, the Grail's not easy to find. Yeah, like
anything that's slightly undercosted, because like a Sword of Might would give you one extra dice, and this gives you three.
Yeah. But you do have the Negatrate again that you have to charge.
So. And it is only for one turn, isn't it? It's only the first turn
of combat. Only when you charge in the open.
Yeah, so. It kind of balances out. So
Then we have Pegasus Knights. These are monsters. They have two
attacks. It's interesting the classification as monster, but I guess it's because of what they do.
Yeah, so they're all about a charge, basically. Mm. Monster. So they're monsters, they have two attacks, three hits, they have five up armor, they fly and they're 80 points with a maximum of one per thousand. So they count. Now these don't have to charge because they. Oh no, Pegasus Knights do. Like they do it.
But only for initiative.
Yeah, initiative range. Yeah.
Not 100.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that would be bad.
Yeah. So they are a double-edged sword because you want to take them. You know, they're what makes the army fantasy. But they are the best. Well, some of the best flyers in the game. The best flyers in the game.
Because they've got five up armour.
But they have a negative effect that they, in an army where only certain units count for break, they count for break, and they are easily lost.
The biggest problem I have with them, when I've played with them, is I'll fire them off, like a bullet, and they'll go and destroy whatever they've gone after. Yep. And then normally what happens is you home them back, but they have to charge, even before home backs, don't they?
Yes.
Yeah, so the next turn, where I'd be normally homing them back, I'm in the enemy line, and they just set up for me to charge what they want me to charge.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's bad.
Yeah.
So they tend to be like, they tend to die really quickly.
I would say take them, take two units, look for where they can do the most impact, but don't expect anything from them aside from a kind of almost a unit exchange.
Well, they can do more than that, but they're not coming back.
Yeah. Yeah, once they've attacked, they're dead.
Not only are they going to be high priority targets because A, they're light, and B, they counter your break, but they also have to charge.
Yeah.
So they don't get a chance of running away, generally. So they're some of the best things in the list, but also definitely the most fragile.
Yeah.
Every game, they're the first 2 points I go for.
Yeah, exactly. And they are they are easily the weakest of the things that count for night in breakpoints.
Not only because of the five up armor, but because when you get charged, they only got two attacks each.
Yeah,
so six attacks is nothing.
Yeah, it's not enough. Not enough to win a fight.
No.
So then we have trebuchets. So they're the Bretonnian's one artillery piece. There's one close combat attack and four ranged attacks. Has four hits with no armor. Costs 100 points, which has been deducted from the in the original list.
Well, not 150.
Yeah, yeah. You can have two of them in an army, and I say you do. Now they have range of 80. They can't move once they've set up.
That's an interesting rule. Right, okay,
because they're big.
They are big.
They're set up on three bases wide. It's in reverse.
Like a stegodon.
Yep. And they can fire indirectly as well, which means that if they can't shoot, they can't see anybody, they'll fire at the closest thing they can't see that's in range and hit on sixes. And they're stone throwers, so they count one. They also count one less for cover. Like, as in, defended is in the open, fortified is defended.
And you've talked about you can fire indirectly?
Yes, I said that. So they need to be carefully placed in a setup and protected because they can never redeploy. But they don't count for anything, like in terms of the enemy taking them off.
And they've got the best range in the game.
They've got best range in the game. And putting two of them together means that they will generally take stands off of what they attack.
Yeah.
Yeah. And which is great because it's they give that range.
When you only had access to one for 150, they weren't worth bothering with.
No. But
it's not doing enough to job warranty.
But this, so having two of them, I would definitely take them in a Bretonnian list.
Both of them?
Yes.
Okay.
Because if you're going to take one, you have to take both.
Okay.
But they just have to be careful. I mean, they're so vulnerable to flyers. So vulnerable. Because Bretonnians don't have a defensive artillery piece. They can't build a brigade that will take. They can fire and then take. They can't shoot. Can't shoot charges.
No.
So if the enemy has flyers, I think the only thing you can do is like what I did, which is screen them so they're firing indirectly, and let them fire directly when the enemy's flyers are dealt with or they're not a threat anymore.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Hey, it was going to be a long episode today, but that's good, listeners, because we're not having one next week because it's half term. So we've already done an hour now. We're still miles away from finished.
Oh dear. Right.
Well, that's all right. It doesn't matter. But there's no episode next week, so yeah, we've got a double episode this week almost. Mm-hmm. So what's next? Characters.
Characters.
So then you've got the normal setups. You've got a general with plus two attacks. We've got a hero.
Command nine.
Hero, command eight, plus one.
About 80 points for an 80 hero. Eight command heroes across so many lists.
Yeah.
It's the most common entry.
Yeah. That's like orc general with one less attack. We've got an enchantress who's a wizard, leadership seven.
Same profile as an empire wizard.
Having leadership seven wizards is problematic if you lose your hero, which you did today, because that leaves everything on the general effectively.
Yeah, that's right.
So I don't know. Would you consider not chucking that hero away so early next time?
Maybe, but I wasn't planning on losing the hero in the following turn. I thought he was fairly safe.
He only puts in three attacks, though, doesn't he?
No. But it wasn't a position. Like,
right, okay.
Yeah, so like I sent him in to make sure I won a combat I needed to win, and then where I thought I could hide him behind the in our game, I thought I could hide him behind the squires and he would be safe. Sadly, you made the rolls and they didn't.
Yeah.
Safe. But no. Yeah.
So when I played Bretonnian, I think what I did slightly differently is I looked for... Because you were quite happy fighting the good stuff. I always look for the cheap shit that doesn't put up a decent fight.
My reason is that if you defeat the good stuff, the enemy's cheap stuff isn't a threat.
Yeah, well, it wasn't, was it? It's like... It just evaporates.
Yeah.
This is so bad. I mean, those Your Grail pilgrims would really give my skeletons power, I'm telling you. God so nailed it.
Then there's two mounts. There's a hippogriffin that only a flying terror-causing plus two attacks, but only the general can ride it. And a pegasus, which is a flying one attack.
Both are good value.
Yeah.
It's weird having a general that can...
It's another unique Bretonnian rule. They have a flying terror character that only the general can ride.
And he did. And he did it well.
Yeah.
But he died. He died.
Oh, sorry, there's also a unicorn, which is a 15-point upgrade to a wizard, which gives you a plus one to attack, and adds you plus one to dice roll for casting a spell.
Once a turn. That's like a rod of... What's the other one? Not rod of repetition.
Rod of power. Yeah. So. You've also got another attack, which, I don't know, like, it looks nice, a unicorn, but I don't think I'd actually pay any points for it.
Well, it's only 5 points extra, isn't it? Because you're 10-point magic item, effectively.
Yeah.
We've got Pegasus, we've got Hippogriff, Grail Relic, we've talked about, so, spell list.
Yeah, and I think it's quite a good one.
I like it. So, you do the first one.
So, the Shield of Combat, which is a 4-up to cast, which means that the Enchantress joins a unit, and they get, on a 4-up, they get to reroll armor saves in a combat phase. But that won't be from missile fire during a charge, because that's before the combat phase.
This spell on a unit of Grail Knights is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because now not only are you doing a million dice on the way in, but you're rerolling all armor saves.
Yeah. It's nice, isn't it?
So I've seen combats get really ruined by that.
If you're going to charge Grail Knights and it's about 50-50, or maybe even they're charging a fully ranked up infantry brigade, this is the way to try and win the combat. Is you send in the wizard and you risk for that spell, because then there's a static combat res, but there'll be very little damage being done to the Grail Knights because they've got a 4-up rerollable save.
Yeah, so you're talking about...
So only a quarter of hits will actually cause wounds.
Yeah, that's a quarter of hits.
Yeah.
So it's an eighth of attacks will cause wounds. So if I'm rolling nine attacks, I'm doing one wound.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
And if you put your terror-causing king in...
Yeah.
Forget about it. I'm not doing anything.
Yeah.
I'm just taking stuff off.
The next spell?
Eerie Mist. So that was range non-applicable because you were next to it, 4-up to cast. So this is a 4-up cast, range 30. Can be cast on any enemy unit regardless of whether it can be seen or not.
Yep.
And what happens is they cannot use initiative.
Yeah.
Any order given to that unit or brigade as part of, so for minus one command penalty.
Nice.
There are better spells. There's a chaos spell that does...
Yeah, but it still has a place.
Yes.
Like, as in, it's still a spell you consider casting.
Yeah.
Cool. Aerial Shield, 5-up to cast and range 30. This will be cast in, you can see or not, and last shoot phase. And any shooting attacks at that unit have a minus one to hit. That's it.
That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good. And then we've got Lady's Favour, which is your favourite.
Yeah.
Lady's Favourite. Mm-hmm. 5-up to cast, range 30, and it's basically a movement spell.
Yeah.
So you get a free order.
Yeah.
On a 5-up.
So all of that, it's a very good spell list, because all of those spells you could see casting in a game.
Yeah.
There's not like a spell that's like pointless, like Skitter Leap, you know, like you know, like would you like? Well, what she does. What's interesting is actually the Bretonnian spell deck doesn't have a magic missile.
Like, that's all about buff, isn't
it? Yeah, so like other spell lists always have your Ball of Flame, Warp Lightning, Magic Missile. Bretonnians don't have that, but I think they have a very strong spell deck because they do have units in the army that are going to want to have a single unit wants another order, but Pegasus Knights, but Grail Knights are going to want to charge if they failed it, and that's another way to have a go. Interestingly, because it was written as a tournament list, we also have designer. You always have designer's notes, so I'll quickly
knock them off.
So, whoever wrote the tournament list is designer's notes. As a Bretonnian army always has a very restricted variety of troops, we tried to give them some ways to expand their tactical abilities and add a new flavour to that, changing the personality of the army. The aerial shield spell, former version of the spell, could only be used to help protect units with armour in the front line, but those units with the best armour the knights usually wait at the back.
They did. You know,
so this spell was not useful. We changed it so it helps units without any armour. You know, so like makes it -1 to hit. Pegasus Knights. As the flanks of the knights are quite vulnerable against enemy flyers, with a logical option to create a Bretonnian flying unit protect them in the air. Pegasus Knights may also be used in damage enemy artillery and standard cavalry. Basically, added them in. The trebuchet was a difficult choice to take as trebuchet, as it forces a mobile Bretonnian to stay behind if they don't want to risk losing a very expensive machine too early. Fair enough.
Yeah.
The Hippogriffin, Leon Coeur, is known to ride this formidable and terrifying creature, so he restricted it to just being a general's mount.
Brilliant.
There you go. We know that Warmaster Generals are not known to ride on big, expensive mounts too often, but that only adds to the thought that the Hippogriff is a very rare creature.
Yeah.
And a Grail Reliquary, a very special equipment the Bretonnians have. The power of belief makes some decent fighters out of even of the simplest
decent
farm
fighters. Decent fighters.
Bullshit, I say. But yeah, it's cool. It's, I like Bretonnians, basically. It's as in, like, I would happily play that list I just wrote. I might try it, your Grail Pilgrim. I might have a go. But I would happily use.
You're not giving up a lot, are you?
No, I suppose not. But I would play Bretonnians definitely.
The hardest thing is when you want to keep your break around 5, yeah, is what you take out to put that 150 in. I take the bows out, and I probably have to lose the Hippogriff.
So, strengths and weaknesses of the army. Well, the strengths are obviously the cavalry. It's a heavy cavalry army.
Yeah.
It's pseudo-break is a great rule.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, like, as in...
We talked about Nippon a while ago and how crazy changing the break is, and this is
and Pegasus Knights are obviously a natural strength. They're the rock stars of the list.
I like the Grail Reliquary.
I'm not a fan, but like, so weaknesses in that they don't have any heavy infantry, like as in heavy armour.
We don't have any infantry.
Yeah, like, they just don't have infantry really.
This is just like, chaff.
And they the fact they have to charge can produce make them like be played on, I think personally. So basically, you're gonna have a lot of cavalry in a Bretonnian. So
that's why you're playing them.
Yeah, it's why you're playing them. So like,
also the spell list is good.
Yeah,
the
spell list is good.
It's not a machine. We've got plenty of time.
Okay, so tier for Bretonnians, 2, isn't it? Tier 2.
Yeah, why? There couldn't be anything other. They're not tier 1. They're not tier 3. So tier 2 by default.
Tier 2 by default.
They can certainly win games. I think they'll be very good in our forthcoming scenario pack.
They would stand well in both open battle and scenario, as it, and the hold and take and hold. They'd struggle in meeting engagement, I think.
I don't know, we'll have to see how it works.
Or maybe.
Well, now you get to place your character, I don't think it'd be as hard. And you could brigade up, there's only 2 brigades of knights.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
I suppose if you get one of them caught, though, in the corner, that's your whole lot. No!
We're as the peasants, they're in the way! Went German there.
Oh, like, I'll tell you what would be interesting is deploying the trebuchet. That would be
painful. Oh my god.
Where are you going to put them?
Yeah, I think you just lost it, basically.
Like, the trebuchet are dead. Wherever I put them, they're going to die.
Yeah, because they can't even turn, can they? They can't move.
It's just,
yeah, because they're just like given up, I think. In that scenario, just like, I lost these. So, like,
well,
unless you're lucky enough to roll, get them in a corner.
I put them right in the edge.
Right in the corner. That's about the only thing you could do with them. Yeah.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how they work. So, good. Why would one play those Bretonnians?
Why? Maybe you like being French.
Maybe. I'm very cheap, and I like access to cheap alternative miniatures.
Yeah, because obviously, them being the only fantasy thing in there is the Pegasus Knights. And Polar Fox does a very nice unit of Pegasus Knights.
We bought them.
Yeah.
We bought them, and a Hippogriff, and a Pegasus Hero.
The only negative is their wings are so big. As in, but you're going to have to be, because that's wings, Haspan has to be. But
well, you don't need wings to fly, do you? You not see that high elf boat? The magic flying boat? Pulled by dragons or lions or something?
Eagles.
Eagles.
Oh. As I say, and you can build this army out of so many other ranges.
Yeah. And even things like, even if they're slightly big, you only need two knights on each base. So, yeah. I mean, it's like literally dirt cheap.
Yeah.
Dirt cheap. Dirt cheap. You could build this, I swear, you could build this army for about 40 quid.
Yeah.
If you wanted to go to somewhere like Callistra or something.
Yeah, exactly. Also, another reason to play it is the nicest, generally, the nicest fantasy army I've seen on the table that sticks in my head was a fantasy, Warhammer fantasy army, Bretonians, that was painted up like Teutonic Knights, like Crusading Knights. So, obviously, they're a very colourful army if you go for individual chivalry on each knight, but that would be just such a headache to paint.
Oh, yeah, they do look awesome, but I can't do it.
But, oh, my God.
I'm just having red crosses, black crosses.
Yeah, so that's how I'd do it. If I was going to put together and paint a Bretonian army, I would do them like they're a crusading army, and so it's lots of red, white and red crosses and black crosses for the Grail Knights. That's how you'd mark it out, and it'd look awesome as well. That would look like, and you just just go gung-ho for religious fervour. Like Kingdom of Heaven is like, there, watch that. That's why you play Bretonian.
Because the great thing about the horses, there's so much barding armour. Yeah. There's no horse.
Yeah.
It's just all white with a red cross on it. Done.
It's like, the army that brays the true cross cannot be defeated.
Except for today.
Sim Saladin.
Except for today when they were defeated, unfortunately. Yeah. So apart from being cheap, and apart from the Pegasus Knights, which aren't expensive, don't get me wrong, I think it cost us...
10?
No, it was more than that, about 20 quid each for two units of Pegasus Knights and the characters.
Yeah.
And we shared posters and stuff, because it's from...
It's a very nice, well-thought-out character set as well. It's like, the four characters there is the four characters you probably choose.
Did they have the ladies in as well?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, even better. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So get yourself to Polar Fox, get yourself ordered these. They were brilliant.
Yep.
Knock yourself out. They're fantastic.
I've got to say, also, the flying bases are lovely. Really nice.
Are you going to base them, or are you going to leave it like that?
I'd leave them like that. Okay. Like, actually.
Just use the table as the base.
Yeah.
Okay. Makes sense. Right, so I'm pleased with Tony. You've got an army, I've got an army on the way.
Yep.
So happy days.
Yep.
Right, so we're on to future events, and then we're going to talk a little bit about my Black Air Miniatures.
Okay,
what
cool.
future events we got? We've got about 3 weeks till we go to Tryris.
Yeah, and painting-wise, my Skaven are coming along very nicely. I now only have 8 units left to paint, so that's good. That means I'll probably do another one later today. I'm cranking it out, quite nicely. That's on the 12th of November. Tickets still available. You can buy tickets on the door if you wanted to.
I don't think I've given any money yet.
We've got like 13 players signed up. So, yeah, I'm definitely going to grudge. Because the first two rounds will be open and then a Swiss at the end. So I'm definitely going to grudge twice, I think, just to make sure I have good games.
Going to grudge twice?
Yeah, why not? Yeah,
like, are you allowed to grudge twice?
Well, unless I'm told I'm not, yeah.
Okay. You should definitely grudge once.
I'm going to grudge once, definitely.
Yeah. So you're going to grudge?
Depends, because one of them, Jim or Alex, is going to be the spare player. But you want to grudge, like... I think it's Janus, isn't he, playing? Or is it Jim?
I think Janus is playing, yeah.
Is Janus playing? You're grudging him, aren't you?
Yeah, if I get a chance.
Yeah, so I'd probably grudge the guy from The Quick and the Dead that we...
One of them's not playing, but I think one
of them... Yeah, I'd play the other one.
Okay.
Yeah, like I grudge him.
Right,
because also he's using dwarves, and dwarves Skaven, classic matchup.
Classic matchup. Oh God, poor Skaven. So the nearer I get to tournaments, I'm such a whore. The nearer I get to tournaments, the more I get drawn back to leadership 10. So I'm trying to fight the impulse and say I'm taking my lizardman, and then the nearer we get, the higher I'll
start going like, hello, we're so shiny.
We have leadership 10.
Oh my God.
We have a hit shooting on
we're
3
all up. Painted.
They're both all painted. But those Silverhelms on 10, it's just ridiculous. You can do so much damage.
Yeah.
I mean, on a 10 and a 9, you're in, generally.
Yeah.
And the maths on a 10 and a 9 are so easy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm a whore. I hope I manage to fight the temptation
you
to take high elves.
You haven't won with as in the tournament with the high elves yet, have you? So it's like, you can't legitimately say...
No, I came... What did I come? Second last time.
So you could...
Legitimately... Legitimate, but you get so much sledging from PU.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, veterans, it's like, it is like on easy mode. Like, yeah, it's like fair enough. But well, it's maybe. What it is, isn't it?
Well, Dark Elves are not much harder as long as you don't roll any blunders.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll play Dark Elves. No, that's filthy. Anyway, onwards and upwards. So, Blackgate Miniatures, right? It's probably the last time I'll talk about the Kickstarter because we're not going to have an episode next week because of half term, and then the Kickstarter will have finished before we get back.
Yeah.
So we had a busy week so far. We're on £2,322 note sterling, and we've unleashed the armoured ogre warriors.
Unleashed.
And we're only about 180 quid away from unleashing the cannoneers.
Yeah.
So once you get warriors, armoured warriors, and cannoneers, that is the vast majority of an ogre army.
What else do you need? You'd have maybe
there's things you'd want.
One, maybe two units of mammoth riders.
Maybe. Because they're expensive.
And then anything else in the list is like, yeah.
There isn't. I'm telling you, the whole list falls around two of those three units.
Yeah.
And the cannoneers are nice as an option, but once you've got at least the armoured guys and the unarmoured guys, you're having 10 or 12 units of them anyway.
Because
that's how the army is.
Yeah, cool.
So,
what's this alternative ogre list you were sent?
Oh, yeah. So a guy, I think his name's Brian, has been working on alternative ogre list himself.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some interesting changes there. So let's see if we can pull it up. I'm not sure I agree with all of them yet.
No, fair enough. But he asked us to play test it, so we will.
Yeah, we certainly will. We'll certainly have a look at them. Now it doesn't want to open, of course. Peter, stop it. It's maybe talking about when we get back. I'm going to give one more go for Drive to. Hey! Right, so what's he done? He's reduced the price of bull ogres and lead belchers.
Okay.
But he's also taken away the ability for lead belchers to hurt themselves.
Okay.
So they just do D3 shots, which is fair enough because they're still pretty crap.
Yeah.
He's given them a massive discount to Iron Guts, which I'm not sure I agree with.
Right.
But so Iron Guts,
points wise.
Yeah, so they're 125.
Oh, okay.
And they're 444,
right,
which is Chaos Warriors. And they were already 5 points cheap, I think.
Right, okay, go on. Yeah.
Because I think Chaos Warriors 150, they were 145.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So 125 is too cheap.
Yeah, okay.
Because they're Chaos Warriors.
Yeah.
So the 145 was already too cheap.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think they could be 145 if they kept the must charge negatrate.
Yeah.
Yetis aligned a bit more with trolls.
Mm hmm.
So they're 110 points. They still got the command problem. But they have to charge now.
Okay, yep.
Nobblers are 25 points.
So they're cheaper? Yeah, they're cheaper.
Everything else is the same, except there are no restrictions on brigading them.
Oh, so okay. Right.
I think that might be a bit bent as well. Because 125-point Iron Guts supported by Nobblers.
Yeah.
that might be quite hard.
Yeah.
That's a 150-point unit. It's like, oh, God. Because the problem with your basic ogre list is that you're supporting ogres with ogres.
Yeah.
Which you don't want to do.
No.
But that's kind of how they have to be.
Yeah. Because
if you're supporting ogres with chaff, then that might be a bit too bent.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. I'll certainly play test it. So Rhinox Riders, just a 25-point reduction in price. That's probably still not enough. So 225 for those bad boys. And Gorgers, they got a small reduction in price, but they have to charge humans in the same way as bulls.
So generally, it's a reduction in points for things, isn't it?
Yeah, but they've also got a lot more things. They've got the must charge
that
negative
trait. That sounds all improvements, no.
There's no negative here, no.
So basically, it's a better ogre list at every, like.
I don't know, better. It's certainly cheaper.
Yeah.
If you look, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 units have changed, and they've all become cheaper.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying there isn't merit to it, but I'm just saying that it seems like maybe it's too much of a swing the other way.
Okay. Okay, well,
there's certainly things in here that need
but
work.
But as the guy asked us to do it, we will play a game. We'll do a podcast on it. Like we'll play a game using that list.
I think he emailed the show on the Facebook. So I think his name's Brian Hamilton. I may be completely wrong because I'm doing it out of memory.
Yeah. But
and I'm getting old.
But I'm
pretty sure that's his name.
We'll that.
So we'll give it a go. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm not saying some of those changes I haven't thought of myself, and I certainly agree with some of them, especially around the lead belchers. I think the lead belchers are possibly the worst unit in the game at the present.
They need reworking.
Because why have they got 6 up armour? From a fluff, what are they wearing differently to the bulls? Bulls are wearing nothing.
No. So they, are, they should be the same armour as Bulls. Yeah.
But they're not. They're six of armour, three of attacks.
But they should be. Like they just as well protected, aren't they?
Yeah, so maybe that's the thing. Maybe they get the same amount of protection, but they're obviously more expensive than Bulls because...
Yeah. They've got a range attack.
Yeah, so maybe they have to pay a range tax. They got to 115 or something.
And I don't like—I don't agree with the fact that they have to like destroy themselves. Like, as in, they—I don't I like the D3 shots thing. It's like,
I like the D3 shots, but I don't think they should hurt themselves as frequently as it happened.
I think I would have them as a shooting attack is two, like
that. Just fixed at two. Okay, well it is two
because there's nothing else that's D3 in the game.
No, but a D3 is effectively two on average.
Well, then make it two.
But then you get spikes either way.
Yeah, well, I sound like...
I don't like any of this randomness, I just want to know. I quite like the randomness of it. In the same, but I think the range 15 is really limiting.
Yeah, yeah, in so many ways. Yeah.
Yeah, so you put yourself in initiative range at start.
I'd probably have them the same armour. I would do them as the same armour as Bulls. They'd be range 30 and they have two shots. That's what I would do.
Wow.
I'd make them viable.
I need four units of those bad boys.
Yeah, exactly. I'd make them a choice that you would have. At the moment, they're not a choice.
Well, you could certainly take them. They have a place if you hide them in a wood. Defensively.
That's not really what ogres are they?
Yeah, but if somebody's got to defend, might as well be that.
Yeah, okay. But, yeah.
Okay, we've done the feature events, we've done the Blackgate miniatures, so that's it's going to end. So,
yeah, I mean, it's
going to end before we have another podcast, so hopefully it will do all right.
So, where are you predicting the Blackgate thing, the Kickstarter to finish? What level?
Oh, right, well, from the people tell me that there's a spike at the beginning, spike at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
So, the spike at the end should mean we get to a free chieftain model or maybe even the Mammoth Riders.
Cool. Wow.
So, we'll see.
I like that you reworked the goals to be at 500s. Yeah, as well. That's good.
I do listen.
Yeah.
It was just, I'm not going to say it's laziness. It was just like, I didn't want too many stretch goals, so I kind of kept them at big blocks. But,
I mean, it's the first time you've done this, so. Yeah.
With hindsight, that lull was horrific.
Yeah.
The bottleneck of getting past the armoured warriors, that was horrific. Because it just sat there for like a week.
Yeah.
And it was like, nobody's investing. And they're saying, like, I'm not going to invest unless there's more than one unit.
Yeah, fair
I said, well, I can't make more than one unit unless somebody invests. So we fiddled around with the stretch goals and did some other stuff. And we got some people, because like Sherwin was like, just make a bigger pledge and I'll pledge more. I said, all right then. God damn you, Sherwin. So that was good stuff. Thank you for investing, Sherwin. I slight you, but it's out of love. Slighted out of love. Right, so that's good. So you can contact us on the Facebook page or warmaster.podcast@googlemail.com.
Yeah.
We've gone over an hour and... what's that? An hour and 21.
Oh, my God.
Bang. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was the Warmaster podcast with Paul and Barry.
Yeah, and so sorry for not next week, but we'll see you the week after.